And what a joy to be again in church tonight. I want to just recap a little bit, a couple of things. And one is that I'm always, I oftentimes come in and I don't pay attention as much as I should, but isn't it great to be in this auditorium? I was thinking about these, the beauty of it. It's a beautiful place to come to have our Christmas services, and Miss Marcia and whoever else she had helping her did all of the decorating and the candles in the windows. Just a wonderful time of year and a wonderful place to get to celebrate it right here in the auditorium. It's exciting to have this time and to have this place. And then the other thing was, I want to thank you for those that helped out the pavilion, getting it ready for this past Sunday night. It was a great time. If you're able to get slip over there, if you weren't, we understand as the terrain just a little bit down that ramp and all that. But thank you for taking the time to make that your part of your Christmas celebration. And we had a wonderful time over there. I know my coat still smells like smoke, so that means I was right in the middle of the all of the action. And so I'm thankful for all of it. We had a great time together. And I wanted to come to tonight, and I meant to, as I mentioned on Sunday, tell everybody that Brother Kyle would be preaching, because I think we would have had, he's joking and saying, no, people wouldn't have come, but I believe we would have had a bigger crowd, because I think our church wants to encourage and prop up and help young preachers that are going forward for the Lord. And just so happens he's going forward for the Lord here, and we're thankful. But if he was out somewhere else, we'd still want to help him and encourage him along the way. And I've watched our church has just rallied around he and Anna, and as they've been serving and laboring with the teens and the young people, the kids, and they're just doing a phenomenal job. I want to thank them, but I want to thank the Lord for sending them our way. And I want to thank you as a church for encouraging somebody. It's easy to get to a place where many of you in this room, you don't have teens, you don't have juniors, you don't have primary kids. And so it's easy for you to say, well, they don't even affect me. But they affect our church. And I've watched you that you just love up on them. And I want to commend you and encourage you to continue doing it. And if you haven't thought about it, whether it's ones that serve here with us on the pastoral staff or others that come through, we've got a great ministry, a possibility of it, to encourage people as they come in. And especially young people that are going the same path as his dad, and the same path as Anna's dad, and the same path as preachers before. And so I'm so thankful for Kyle and thankful for our church. And he's been a very diligent worker and helps in everything. The other, sometime back, a preacher lastly called and he needed something done over to his house. And Kyle jumped and said, I'll go do it. And went over and did something with leaves or whatever it was that particular need, and just helped out in any way possible. And so we're so thankful for him, and we're looking forward to him tonight preaching. And so you open your Bibles, and Brother Kyle, you come preach to us. We're so excited to have you here in the pulpit of Buffalo Ridge.
All right, if you want to take your Bibles, go to Psalm chapter number 63. Psalm 63. While you turn there, I just want to take a minute and say thank you. Pastor was thanking you all for loving up on us, but truly I want to say thank you from Anna and I. Thank you so much. We're coming up on 6 months of being here at Buffalo Ridge, and we have truly enjoyed our time here, and we're loving serving here. But just thank you for your generosity, your kindness, just being so welcoming to us. And I just want to say thank you for that. And I especially want to say thank you to those of you who are praying for us these last couple of days. Ann and I just got back today. We were in North Carolina for her uncle's funeral. Her father's brother passed away very suddenly, Thursday night, a heart attack, and he passed away right away. And it was very unexpected. He was only 59 years old, so not very old, and it was very unexpected. But we were able to go to this funeral, and so I thank you for those who were praying. God really did help, and praise the Lord, her uncle did know the Lord, and so he's in heaven today. And what a blessing that is, but the Lord's comforting the family, and through the funeral, her father, Anna's father, was able to preach and present the gospel to hundreds of people. People all around the world tuned in to this funeral. And so truly the gospel got out, and what a blessing that was. So thank you to everyone. As we were coming home today, we were kind of talking about just the different things. Things like deaths and families often make us think. And we were just thinking about the fact that, you know what, so often we get caught up in the next thing in life. Christmas is Saturday. It's easy to think ahead to, well, Christmas and then New Year's and the next thing on the list to do. And I'm a person with a to-do list, so I always think about the next thing. And it's so easy to get caught up in the next thing, the next stage of life that we're going to be in, the next place, the next activity, whatever it is. It's so easy to get caught up in the next thing. And the Lord brought the scripture, James 4, to my mind. Verse 13 and 14 says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And so on our way home, we kind of made a commitment to each other that we would live every day for that day, every moment for that moment, whatever stage we're in, wherever God has put us, to be all in there. Because it's so easy to get caught up in, well, we're going to be with family on Saturday, and New Year's, we got plans for that, and the next activity for the youth group. But you know what? God has us here tonight for a reason. And so that would be my challenge and my takeaway from the funeral. But truly, thank you for your prayers. They were felt, and the Lord truly is good. Well, you're in Psalm 63, and I need to turn my Bible there so that way I am with you all. But Psalm 63, I'm going to read just the first three verses. Follow along as I read. It says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." We're coming up on Christmas. There's a lot to be done before Christmas, right? The month of December is crammed packed of all sorts of things. Christmas parties. We've been to numerous Christmas parties, and Christmas is my favorite time of the year. So I love going to all the festivity things and enjoying the season. There's awesome cookies that are being baked, right? Candy that's being made, gifts to buy, things to wrap, right? And all sorts of things going on during the Christmas season. And we can get so caught up in physically preparing for Christmas that Christmas Day comes, we're prepared, right? We're celebrating Christ's birth. We've been preparing for this all month. It's really easy to get physically prepared, but I think a lot of times we can get so caught up preparing physically that we forget to prepare spiritually for a holiday of celebrating Christ's birth. This psalm, Psalm 63, is written by David. The psalmist, and he's writing this at a very difficult time in his life. It's a busy time, if you will, a stressful time in David's life, a lot going on. He's running away. He's in the wilderness, running from his son, Absalom, who's trying to kill him, overthrow the kingdom, and he doesn't know who to trust at this time, and it's not an easy situation for David. Doesn't look too good. But even through all that, makes a priority to walk with God. And so my challenge tonight is simple. It's, how are we walking with God? Are we walking with God? Because it's easy to get caught up in the things of life. The first thing I see in this psalm in verse 1 is a response to a personal God. Look at verse 1 again. It says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." David's response to God leads me to ask two questions in verse 1. First question is this: is God personal to me? Ask yourself that. Is God personal to me? And it starts with salvation. And David says, "Oh God, thou art my God." Can we say that? God, you're my God. It starts with salvation. And I'm so thankful to be raised in a Christian family. And the Christmas season probably has a little bit of a special thing to me because 18 years ago, yesterday,
was the day that I realized that I was a sinner and that I was in great need. The day that God became personal to me, if you will, is the day that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I'm thankful for a family that raised me to know who Christ was and what he had done for me. But you know what? It's a personal decision. They could only get me so far, and it has to become personal. So that's the first step to being able to say, God, you are my God. But I think David is saying something a little more than just being saved. He's saying, God, you're my God. God, I know you because I walk with you. God, you are my God. David is making this claim during a very difficult time in his life. He's on the run. It's a pretty big trial in David's life. But he can make this claim because he knows God is there with him. And he says, oh God, thou art my God. And the Hebrew word for God, the second phrase there, art my God, is El, implying God's strength. He's saying, God, you are my God, the God who's going to help me and strengthen me. When we go through a trial in life or a difficulty, when life gets stressful, God is there to help you. To help me. God, you are my God. The first question that I have to ask is God personal to me? And ask yourself that. The second question is this: what is my response to God? What is my response to God? Look at verse 1 again. Early will I seek thee. I see a priority here. A priority for David. David didn't want to wait to walk with God. He says, early will I seek thee. Early implying earnestness. God, I have to seek you. It wasn't that God was one of David's highest priorities. It was that God was David's priority. David said, early will I seek thee. It's not saying that you have to read your Bible first thing when you wake up in the morning. And if you're anything like me, that's not going to work, okay? Because if I turned off my alarm in the morning and started reading the Bible, I would fall asleep, okay? That's just how it is, all right? I have to wake up a little bit. So early will I seek thee isn't saying it has to be the first thing you do, but it implies earnestness. It comes down to our hearts, is our desire, our priority to seek God. Is that the first thing in our minds when we wake up? When, if you have any kids at home, Christmas comes, what's the first thing on their minds when they wake up and they realize it's Christmas Day? If they're anything like me, they go, oh, presents, right? It's the first thought on their mind. And they tear into the wherever the Christmas tree is and they want to rip open the gifts. That's their priority. Is that how we treat our walk with God? Is our priority, God, I need you today. First thing on our minds, a priority. Something I've been working with the teenagers is teaching them about preeminence. Preeminence can be defined to be first, above, or of most importance. We need to give God preeminence in our lives. God needs to be first in our lives above anything and everything in our lives. And if we treat God and give God preeminence in our lives, you know what? Our priority will be, early will I seek thee, God. You are going to be the first thing on my mind. You are going to be the one that I desire. And that leads me to the second thing. Look back at verse 1. It says, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I see not only a priority, but a desire. David had a desire to walk with God. David was in a place where there was not a lot of water. And he gave an illustration that we can all understand being thirsty. David was thirsty to walk with God each and every day. He had a priority to walk with God, but he had a desire to walk with God. Do we have a desire in our lives to walk with God? A thirst, something that we have to do because we desire to walk with God so much. David had a desire So the first thing that we see in this passage is a response to a personal God. But the second thing in verse 2 is a result of a walk with God. Look at verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. We can see, as David saw, when we walk with God, two things in our lives. The first thing is power. Power in our lives. Power in our lives to, first thing that comes to my mind is overcome sin. Sin is something that we get tempted to sin so often. But if we have God and our walk with God as a priority, we have a desire to walk with God each and every day. You know what, when that temptation comes along and it's trying to entice us to follow that temptation and give into that temptation, if we're so caught up in seeking and in our desire with God, when that temptation comes along, it's a lot easier to say no to temptation when we have a bigger yes in our walk with God. Doesn't always mean that saying no to temptation is easy, but when we have a bigger yes, it makes that no so much easier. When we walk with God, we have power in our lives to overcome sin. Psalm 55, verse 22, you don't need to turn there, but I'll read it. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We have power in our lives because God will sustain us. Whenever we have difficulties in our lives, God is there to help us, to give us power in our lives. God gives us comfort. Power in our lives because God is going to comfort us. 2 Corinthians 1 talks about this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Amen. Man, there are days where life seems to get the best of us, doesn't it? We need that comfort, that sustaining from God, and we'll see that power in our lives of God as we walk with him. God gives us peace. Isaiah 26 talks about it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. As we walk with God, as we put God as our priority and we have a desire to walk with him, you know what? God's going to reveal his power in our lives to help us say no to sin. Help us through our days and our troubles and our difficulties. And when we get to the end of the day and life seems to be getting the best of us, God gives us peace. What a wonderful thing to think about. But not only do we see power in our lives as we walk with God, but we also see proper view of God's glory. Proper view of God's glory. David was writing about this, not because he just had head knowledge of who God was, but because as he walked with God, he saw who God truly was. He saw God in his glory, and he became real to David. The word glory in this passage, it implies figuratively weight. As you walk with God, have you ever become overwhelmed by who God is? Meditating on the fact of God and that he is so holy. Because when we realize how holy God is, you know what? We're going to see ourselves for who we are, right? We see ourselves as sinners, but then we realize that God loves us so much even while we were yet sinners. And it can overwhelm us because we see God for who he truly is. James talks about seeing God and truth like a mirror. As we walk with God, we see truth, and as we read his word, it is truth, and it'll reveal things in our lives. James talks about a mirror, and he talks about how if we see truth but do nothing about it, it's like we wake up in the morning, right? We go into the bathroom, we turn on the light, we look in the mirror, And we see ourselves for who we are, right, in the morning. And we see a problem, right? We got to fix our hair, let's say. But then if we don't do anything about it, it's like we see it and we just go out the door and do nothing about it. But as we walk with God, he's going to reveal things in our lives, things we need to fix, things we need to adjust. so that way we can fix things in our lives. So as we walk with God, we see his power in our lives to help change us, but then we also see who God is, which reveals who we are. God helps us, changes us, grows us to become more like him. So as we look at this passage, we see, first of all, a response to a personal God. But then we see a result of a walk with God. But then that leads us to a response to a loving God. A response to a loving God. Look at verse 3. It says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." So often, when we see God's love in our life, we can be selfish with it, can't we? God gives to us, he provides for us. Philippians 4:19 tells us, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God's going to take care of us, but how often do we sit down to a meal and we say a quick, "Thank you, Lord, for this food," and we don't truly stop and thank God for what God has provided for us. God, he guides us. Psalms 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways." But so often, when we're praying for God to show us his will, God says, "Hey, this is what I want you to do." And we say, "Well, God, can we actually renegotiate this real quick? I don't know if I like this plan." God takes care of us each and every day, and Matthew reminds us, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." So often in life, we go through difficulties and trials, and as we go through these difficult times, we're going through them kicking and screaming, saying, "God, I don't like this. God, why are you doing this to me?" But all the while, God is in the background, working everything together for our good and for his glory. So often, as we walk through life, we see God's love to us, but we waste it. We're so selfish with it. But we need to take a cue from David and have a proper response. Look at the end of verse 3. "My lips shall praise thee." The proper response when we realize who God is to praise him. We need to praise God. Well, how do we praise God? Through singing is a great way. Psalm 33, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps. Sing unto him with the psaltery and instruments of string. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." We can sing to God. We can thank God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You all could probably quote this to me, but it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We can praise God by thanking him. So often we get caught up in complaining. So easy to do, but you know what? We need to praise God and say, "God, thank you." Stop and praise God by thanking him. We can obey him. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." We praise God by obeying him. We can talk about what God has done. Psalm 71, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." God has done so much for us. God has saved us and brought us along. We can tell others about it. But ultimately, truly worship and praise God, we have to look at Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." To truly worship God, we need to give our lives over to him. Say, "God, whatever you have for me, that's what I want. God, not my will, but your will." Be a living sacrifice for him. David here is going through a very difficult time. He's on the run from his son Absalom. But even through this difficult trial, David makes it a priority to walk with God. He says, early will I seek thee. It's not always easy, and we're in the Christmas season. We're getting really close. And I've been challenging the teens, hey, even through this really busy season, right? There's a lot going on, and a lot of it's exciting, fun to get involved in. And you know what? It's all to celebrate Christ's birth, right? But so often, we can get caught up in all of the things going on that we forget about our daily walk with Him. My challenge to the teens has been, hey, even through this busy time, don't forget to walk with God each and every day. You know what? The devil, he wants to use all of the busyness in life to keep us from our walk with God. But we need to take notes from David. Even in the difficulties, you know what? It's an exciting time, Christmas, but David's going through a pretty difficult time. Something a lot more stressful than the Christmas season, right? Than the holidays. But even through those difficult times, he makes his walk with God a priority. And he says this, verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life. He gives a testimony. He says, hey, I've walked with God. I've seen his glory and his power in my life. I'm praising him, but hey, walking with God is better than life itself. And what a blessing it is to be part of a church where we have so many who do walk with God each and every day. And I'm thankful to be part of a church that does that. Continue on in that. Continue on. But hey, if maybe the season has gotten busy for you, you know what? It's not too late to walk with God. It's never too late to walk with God. Start today. And as you make God and your walk with Him your priority, and you have a desire to do it, it comes and you'll be able to see God's power in your life. You'll be able to see God and His glory and who He is. What a wonderful thing that is. But then turn around and praise Him for all that He's done. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to pray and then we'll just give a little invitation. Lord, I do thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, thank you that as we walk with you, God, you show us your power and your glory. Lord, I thank you that you love us even while we're sinners. Lord, that you care for us. Lord, I pray as we go into this invitation that your power would be in it and your spirit would work, Lord. In your name I pray. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Let's just take a few minutes. The pianist will play here in just a minute. And as they play, just ponder there. Maybe in your seat, maybe come forward, whatever the Lord has for you. But maybe you're here and you can't make the claim, God, you are my God, because you've never been saved. Today is a great day. If you come down here to the front, we'll have someone talk with you about how you can start your relationship with God. Wonderful decision, I can tell you, that I made 18 years ago, and it's the best decision I've ever made. There's people in here who could tell you the same testimony for many, many years. But maybe you heard this and you've been walking with God and you've seen His power and His glory in your life. Just take a few minutes and praise God for who He is. We serve a wonderful God. But maybe you have been challenged about your walk with God. Maybe you need to take a few minutes right here in your seat or maybe up front and just think and pray with God and recommit to a daily walk with Him. As the instruments play, I'm going to turn the invitation over to Pastor and he'll close it as he sees fit, but take a few minutes.
As they play and you pray, wouldn't you just make some commitments to the Lord? Maybe you've been doing this for years. You've made it a daily practice to get in His Word and let His Word get in you and pray. Or maybe it's something new to you. Maybe you're a young Christian, or maybe you're a young person who's been saved for a while, but you have not yet developed those habits. My friend, that is the If it is a secret, that's the secret of the Christian life. Preacher Lastly talking not too long ago about how important it was for the growth of this church over these years and years ago for people to get a regular time with the Lord. And oh my, it's so important. But it's got to start with the beginning, what Kyle mentioned, and that is to get a view of who God is and realize who you are, and then shows you your need to get with Him on a regular basis. Would you make some holy commitments to the Lord? This altar is open for you. You're welcome to come and pray. If you're here tonight, as he mentioned, you're not sure that you're saved, then we'd meet you down front. If you just slip out from an aisle, there's enough room everywhere can get out. Somebody will let you out if you need help. This isn't the first Christmas that was so busy that people overlooked Jesus Christ. That first Christmas, everything was so busy, and they overlooked the coming of the Messiah. So it's not anything new, it's old, but it can happen again and again. And so I'm trusting that we would see our way clear to make a way, make an effort to get alone with the Lord. Early will I seek thee. Lord, thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, what a joy to hear your word. Thank you for moving upon me, dear Lord. Thank you for speaking to my heart. And Lord, thank you for using Brother Kyle to do it. And thank you for your goodness, dear Lord. Bless our evening, we pray. Bless the young people as they finish up in the different departments. And Lord, we trust that you give us a wonderful next few days as we celebrate this wonderful season. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May look this way. And thank you again for being in church tonight. How many of you say that was a blessing this evening? Amen? It was. The Lord spoke to my heart, moved upon me. Because I can tell you this, if you didn't put yourself in those positions and find yourself saying, that's what's happened to me sometime, then you must be some kind of super Christian, much better than your pastor. Because I found myself right there thinking, that's exactly what happens to me. I drift away and it's amazing how many things come to mind when you start reading your Bible. You ever notice that? You sit down there, you start reading, and everything, it's all of a sudden you want to clean up a cluttered bedroom. All of a sudden you want to go straighten up something. And, boy, you just have to think, I got to do this, or the doorbell rings, or the phone, your cell phone goes off. Getting alone with the Lord. Thank you, Brother Kyle. Thank you for obeying the Lord tonight. Thank you for being in church. Don't forget, please pray that Friday night, that the Lord would be glorified right here in this auditorium for those Christmas Eve services. When you come in, there'll be some special stuff going on in the lobby even just to get us started as we come. And we'll have a great, great time together. And then if you're traveling, please be careful. And we ought to pray one for another. Pray that the Lord would give traveling mercies. My family is in Murfreesboro tonight. They took Jared's girlfriend back. She flew out of Nashville. So they dropped her off at the airport just a little bit ago. And then down in Murfreesboro this evening, so you pray for them. They'll be coming back tomorrow, and so we'll pray one for another. Isn't it good to be saved? And isn't it good to be in church? You could be home. What fun would that be? You wouldn't get to see the rest of us. You'd had to watch us on TV, and they say it made Kyle gain 50 pounds if he'd have been seen on TV, and he doesn't need that. He's getting heavy anyway, so he's by far the skinniest person around here, so he wouldn't hurt him to fatten up a little bit. We're working on him. We're working on him. We're trying. Give him a year, and then we'll see how he's doing. So thank you for being in church. Let's all stand together. Tell somebody Merry Christmas before you get out of here, somebody you haven't talked to yet tonight, and encourage them along. If you're waiting on your children, they'll be out, your young people, or if you're going to get your children, they'll be out just real soon, I'm sure. Thank you, and if you're traveling, you won't be here this weekend. God bless you. Merry Christmas.